You're listening to KTOO. Good afternoon. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Tribal members spoke out against the state's proposed Cascade Ferry Terminal in Juneau on Wednesday at a panel hosted by the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. The state's plan for the first phase of the ferry terminal includes developing an access road and a construction staging area at the end of Glacier Highway on the north side of Berners Bay. It would be roughly 30 miles from the existing Auk Bay Ferry Terminal on land owned by Gold Belt, an Alaska Native corporation. Members of the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska say the land is sacred and has grave sites and petroglyphs. It's a recorded village site. Akwan Elder Sikuni Fran Houston spoke about what the place means to the Native people in the region.
Not only is it sacred, but it's our way of life. We use that area for hunting, fishing.
A NOAA study in the mid-2000s found 24 species of fish in Berners Bay. The fish known to run there, salmon, hooligan, and herring, are culturally important to the Tlingit people. Shaganasta Robert Sam is a caretaker of Native cemeteries in Southeast and has helped repatriate human remains. He says his ancestor, Kahwani, a leader of the Akwan who died in 1855, was buried there.
I have dedicated my life to protect ancestors, sacred places. I will give my life to protect Berners Bay.
The Alaska Department of Transportation has been pushing for the new terminal for several years. It is said it would benefit travelers in Southeast by reducing operational costs and travel time between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. The department plans to break ground this year and approved the construction contract before completing its highly criticized feasibility study or engaging in tribal government consultation. More than 90% of the public comments submitted to the state oppose the project. It stands to benefit the new Amalga gold mine proposed by Grand Portage Resources, a Canadian company, which plans to build an ore terminal alongside Cascade Point. Kisei Naomi Michelson lives in Ketchikan, but says her ancestral home is in Berners Bay, and she doesn't want to see the area developed.
And I do not believe that a ferry terminal is going to be our legacy. Our legacy is to protect that area so that we can tell our children and show our children who they are and where they come from.
Since the land is owned by Gold Belt, some attendees suggested that Native shareholders could try and sway the corporation to pull out of the deal with the state. The Department of Transportation has said it will continue to collect public comments throughout the process. A new preliminary cost estimate to install the controversial gondola project at Eagle Crest Ski Area is a staggering $27 million. And as KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, the number is more than three times higher than originally expected, and far more than the city has to pay for the project.
Eagle Crest Ski Area's controversial gondola project is expected to cost much, much more than the city estimated when it purchased the used gondola 4 years ago.
And that price is $27 million. So that's a pretty big gulp factor.
That's Eagle Crest board member Jim Calvin breaking the news of the installation cost estimate for the project at a joint meeting with the Juneau Assembly Wednesday night. The board gave the assembly a financial overview of the city-owned ski area at the meeting.
And we expected 10, 15 million, 27 is quite a pill to swallow.
That number is a preliminary estimate, and it's just for installation. A final estimate will be shared with the assembly on April 1st. The Eagle Crest board got the contractor estimate just a day before the board met with the assembly on Wednesday. Over the years, Eagle Crest has faced criticism for its growing reliance on city funding to build and maintain infrastructure and pay its staff. Kelvin says deferred repairs and maintenance for its aging infrastructure have built up over decades of use. The ski area's plan to become self-sustainable is heavily reliant on the success of the gondola.
We're attempting to join the rest of the mountain recreation world in getting to a position where our summer revenues support winter operations. It's a long path. It's a hard path to get there, but that's what the gondola is about.
When the city purchased the gondola in 2022, the project was estimated to cost under $10 million. But that number has skyrocketed over the past 4 years due to the need for additional parts, high construction costs, and tariffs on imports. And now with that new $27 million installation price tag, the ski area board and the city face the task of deciding whether to move forward with the project or scrap it altogether. Both come with their own set of hurdles. One option is to ask investors for more money. Gold Belt Incorporated, a local Alaska Native corporation, invested $10 million in the gondola in 2022 in exchange for a revenue-sharing agreement. At the meeting on Wednesday, most assembly members, like Maureen Hall, supported the idea of asking for more money.
I'm in favor of starting local and reaching out to Gold Belt and starting the conversation.
The assembly was less excited about another option brought to the table, which was asking larger national investors to step in. Assembly member Christine Wall says she doesn't think the options are realistic.
I don't have a lot of faith in any of these options. Not that I don't want them investigated, but just because of the size of that number, it's hard to imagine a scenario where we can get on a sustainability track.
Another option is to abandon the project altogether. But Kelvin says $11 million have already been sunk into the project.
That would leave Eagle Crest with little chance of becoming self-supporting in the near future. We'd have no way to repay the fund balance.
As it stands, the revenue sharing agreement with Goldbelt stipulates that the gondola must be up and running by May of 2028. However, Kelvin says the project following that timeline is unlikely, given the current financial uncertainty. At the meeting, the board and the assembly agreed to move forward with initiating conversations with Goldbelt about seeking a larger investment, along with looking for other ways to pay for the project. In a message to KTOO on Thursday, Goldbelt's president and CEO, McHugh Pierre, said he did not have a comment about the corporation's stance at this time. The assembly and Eagle Crest board will meet again to decide on the path forward at a meeting scheduled for April 1st. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And winter in Alaska can feel endless. And if you've got a dog with energy to spare, those months feel even longer. For Alaska Survival Kit, KTOO's Clarice Larson offers 4 tips to turn that pent-up energy into a fast-moving winter sport, ski-doring.
My dog, Bloon, is a 6-year-old giant, fluffy husky rescue who has the eyes of an angel, but the energy of a rabid raccoon. She never stops. And especially during the winter when it's dark and cold, it can get tough to find ways to keep her tame and me sane. But over the years, I've discovered one way to truly, truly tire her out and also have fun in the process is ski-joring.
Okay, ready, baby? Ready? All right, let's go! Go, Bunny, go! Come on, let's go!
It's a winter sport where you essentially tie yourself to your dog while on skis, and they pull you down a trail, kind of like mushing for one.
Come on, Bunny, let's go!
And even though I've been doing it for 5 years now, I've still got a lot to learn. So I talked with some professionals to come up with 4 main takeaways on how to make the quirky sport fun for both you and your pup. Kelsey Johnson got her start ski-joring after she adopted her first of 3 huskies more than a decade ago. Tip number 1, don't force it. Make sure your dog wants to pull you. For Johnson and her dog Loki, that was pretty easy.
I put him in a harness, fully prepared for him not to pull or do anything, and he took off, and we had a blast.
Since then, she's been hooked. She's now the co-president of the Alaska Ski-Joring and Polk Association, a nonprofit based in Fairbanks that promotes recreational and competitive ski-joring in the interior.
I think it's something really cool that I can share with my dogs. It gets them exercising. It lets them run at the speed that they want. They always have this sort of stupid, happy look on their face when they're out there ski-joring.
Tip number 2 is to find the right gear for you and your dog. Besides skis, you need a good harness for your dog. A sturdy line that connects you to your dog, and a good belt with a quick release mechanism, in case your dog gets distracted. That leads to tip number 3. Train your dog, and yourself, to avoid any unnecessary squirrel-induced wipeouts or running into trees at full speed. Kelsey says teaching your dog some basic verbal cues can save you from a lot of wipeouts.
A lot of people use G for right, haw for left, easy to slow down, but you can use anything you want.
Come on. Come on, guys, we gotta go. There you go.
That's Becky Schaefer, ski-joring with her pack of 2 pups at Campbell Tract in East Anchorage in early February.
Yeah, somebody peed there.
Schaefer is a part of the Anchorage Ski-Joring Club. She says ski-joring with her dogs Kai and Axe is always the highlight of her winter.
Going out on a trail with my dog is the most amazing thing, and it totally resets me.
Tip number 4 is to prepare for your dog to, you know, be a dog and do exactly what you don't want them to do. Schaefer has a lot of experience with this.
I mean, there's the classic, you have 2 dogs and they run on each side of a light pole or a bollard, and then they hit the end of their line and they kind of bonk together. But if depending on how fast you're going, you hit the pole.
And if you're a responsible dog owner and care about community hygiene, take note of this bonus tip from Tristan Knutson Lombardo, the executive director of the Juneau Nordic Ski Club. He says always remember to pick up your dog's poop.
Just being good stewards of the poop that our dogs leave behind and picking it up, knowing that there's going to be lots of people that come after us to use this trail.
So you do your part and I'll do mine.
That is stinky. Oh my God. What did you eat?
On the trails in Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
This story is part of an ongoing series from Alaska Public Media called Alaska Survival Kit, where we help you make the most of living in the 49th state. Alaska lawmakers are considering another boost to per-student funding for public schools. The co-chairs of the House Education Committee introduced a bill on Wednesday that would boost the so-called base student allocation by $630. The sponsors estimate that it would cost $159 million. The new bill comes after lawmakers boosted school funding by a slightly larger amount last year. But with school districts across the state projecting another round of deep cuts ahead, Sitka Independent Representative Rebecca Hemshute says it's clear last year's increase wasn't enough.
Our goal with this bill is to not lose ground. So we made up some ground last year. We know that some districts stand to lose a lot this year in cuts. Other districts have made painful cuts. Can we restore some of what they've lost? Can we prevent some of the cuts that districts are facing?
The Anchorage School District is planning to cut more than 300 teachers and close to three schools to balance this year's budget. Students in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough staged a walkout on Tuesday to protest deep cuts, including three school closures. But the bill faces a long road ahead. Last year's votes required a bipartisan supermajority to overcome two vetoes from Governor Mike Dunleavy. Fairbanks Republican Representative Frank Tomaszewski says he'd like to learn more about the bill, but at least so far, he hasn't heard minority caucus lawmakers clamoring to boost spending on schools.
I haven't heard of a large appetite for increasing education funding this session. So I'm interested in to see, you know, what that bill is going to look like and who is going to be in support of it.
For now, lawmakers are reckoning with the deficit, though an updated revenue forecast due in mid-March could change the picture. Majority caucus leaders in the Senate said Tuesday they were hesitant to increase state spending as oil prices spike due to the Iran war. The legislative session runs through late May. And this is KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org, and thank you for tuning in.